Thursdays for all of you who can possibly make it to come here, because we're going to do something that could be quite a radical change for the way we've worked before, and it hasn't as much to do with spiritual as other things. So if you can possibly make it, it would be important for you to be here. Does anyone else have a question about any work that we've done? The reason for working spiritually is to finally get off this plane of existence, not to try to rectify these things that we run into, but to really gather the energy of past karma, because the real riches spiritually are not the riches of this life, they're the riches of the hundreds of past lives and tens of thousands of years. And they also are the goodies that people who were here are anxious to unload, because they really can't carry it with them. And you all, you know, walk around like babies looking in the street, and really by opening very deeply, your state of being will attract these extraordinary riches that exist. And nobody ever seems to be conscious of it or wanting it. That you grow not because of what you are, but of how deeply you work. Because these things exist not on this level and not on this level, but they exist on these higher levels. And if your state of being is such, you'll attract these gifts. They will be given you because nobody else wants them. And we grow really in a sense of competition, because we receive, because we are doing what somebody else is not doing. And it's not the amount that you work, it's the debt that you open, the amount that you're willing to surrender, and the lack of reservation you have in your brain of what you think you're willing to give up or what you think you're not willing to give up. Because finally it has nothing to do with you at all. And your attitude in your mind of who you think you are and what you think you are, or what you think you'll do or what you think you won't do, has absolutely no meaning. Because by opening and really deeply surrendering, it will take place. The state of being will really begin and function, because it's an organic and very natural thing that takes place, very much like a carrot getting ripe or a pineapple getting ripe on the vine. You open yourself to be attached to these higher levels of consciousness and energy, and by receiving this energy, all of your organs, all of your chakras and muscles become perfectly complete, because most of you are incomplete as human beings, and then the energy flows in them and you become right. And as you become right, you really have these realizations that are really extraordinary. But they're the realizations that take place in a right human being, as a right carrot is sweet or a right pineapple is sweet. It's impossible. And it doesn't matter what you did in your life or what you're doing in your life. It has nothing to do with that. Because all of those things are simple conditions of a moment. But by growing and having this more mature and deeply sweet and nourishing energy, things will change in you, because you will have to live with them. And finally, this is what a gift is. It's what energy is. It's living with it that allows you to change. And what people say and think has nothing to do with it. Because if they said and thought the right things, all of you would have grown up a long time ago. And if you look at the world, it reflects wrong teaching, not right teaching. Because people get more and more attention and some spirituality. But there's no real example when you walk around. You don't see many people with a great inner light, with a great inner shine, and with a great inner happiness and freedom. And that is all that spirituality is supposed to do. It should free you. It should make you very deeply happy. And by letting your mind assimilate it in your body and grow, secondary to the fact of whether you can receive nourishment and assimilate it in your body and grow and feel it. You feel the muscles expanding, you feel your heart expanding, and you take in this nourishment just as a child takes in its mother's milk or food and you feel these muscles actually growing in you. It's growing and maturing that brings a higher level of spirituality. It is not pretensions or thinking and getting emotional. It's a natural process of development that we are eventually have to be in, or we do not grow and ripen. And the same way that a carrot is ripe, it is pushed up through the ground. So as you ripen, you push through one level after another level after another level, regardless of how much resistance you might have inside. If you open and you feel the flow of energy, this thing has to burst it because you're just pushing through the ground and absorbing more and more energy, and you have to pop right through into another level. So the best way of growing is to really relate with depth, with feeling, with love, and flow. But the thing that's criticizing and tearing apart and making walls blocks the energy within you. So the thing that you have to do when you feel this tension is to really stay open, you know, as we actually show those jewels here, and really with the students that you teach, these children, you have to really feel that regardless of the tension that you feel building, you keep the line of love and flow going. So it means that this carrot is beginning to hit the top of the soil, you know, and it's just pushing its way through the ground. And if it's getting its nourishment, it'll come through. But usually when we feel these things, we withdraw. It's too painful. And so you don't ever pop through. And I have every day now, I have a lot of resistance. And I must say, it's wonderful people come and say things that would have driven me crazy 10 years ago. And with all of it, I find it's wonderful that I really can grow. And this is what consciousness is about. It's to not destroy your lines of nourishment when you attract the things that wish to take your nourishment away. That you can love, you can open, you can relate, you know, and be responsible and still feel the tensions around you. And so you are moving and really moving up against all of these resistances. And the higher you move, of course, the more resistance you must feel. It's no different than an executive in a large corporation. I mean, nobody bothers the shipping clerk or the guy who's sweeping the floor. But as you get more authority, as you grow in any kind of a position, so do the responsibilities grow. And it's strictly your ability to not take the tensions personally, or to not accept them, period. You don't have to live in a bar or a cocktail lounge when you finish your day at work.
Extraordinarily fast. In a physical level, you can become free, you know, of tensions quickly. But a spiritual tree is a slow growing tree. It takes tens and tens of years in the whole thing. And you have to understand the difference between tension and spirituality. And most of the things that people live with is not, or never can be considered spiritual. Mm-hmm. They're tension. They are life tensions, karma tensions, fast karma tensions. And this is why the nourishment of industry begins to break this down. You don't have the muscles. Can you see that, honey? Mm-hmm. See this? I mean, the muscles aren't developed at an ordinary animal level, you know? At a human level. It's not a human development yet. And you have to understand that if you can't come up spiritually until you get your muscles, you know, the chakras aren't full. How can you want to be evolved with green chakras? I mean, really, these things haven't opened. They can't open and flower until they ripen. None of these things can go through, you know, and give you the kind of service that you want. And you really have to understand that until you really can feel the thing open, your heart open and open and open beyond your chest, really open way, way out like so, and every other chakra, you're limiting yourself. And insisting on, you know, being developed when you can feel an opening of 4 inches or 2 inches is ridiculous. I mean, your physical body is still, you know, more than your spiritual body. And finally, the spiritual body has to be more than the physical. And I think this is a very, very big factor in what stops people from growing. They want, you know,
without a foundation, they want without maturity and growth, they want without pain. And you can't do it, it has to be adversity. You have to go through level after level of development until you feel your muscles. And if you breathe your heart really open, you can feel the flow of your energy coming down, the effects of it and being refined. Otherwise, you're working off this level of energy, which is really what most people go to war. It doesn't mean they've been put out. Or you're living in illusion. It's telling you. Does anyone have a question?
How can you offer yourself stupid?
By opening more and you're letting and feeling from there. I mean, you're shy, but feel that, you know? You can take, I can feel you taking. But you have to use that. I mean, if you take a half hour, you know, lesson on riding on a horse, you know, you're not going to ever become a great horseman. You have to ride more and more and more, you know? I mean, you have to become one with whatever it is you're setting. You know, unless you, during the day, feel from there and try to open it and relate from that. You know? And try to take a breath and feel open, you know, 100 times a day. You'll never grow. It can't be a thing of a half hour, you know? Or even it can't be a thing of 24 hours of superficiality. It has to be a complete surrender and a deep, deep opening. Not just surrender, but, you know, where are you in your surrender? How deep is it? You have to really ask, you have to really feel. You bring your mind inside the thing, ask and ask and ask and ask, and you really feel like there's nothing left in you. You're asking from a state of nothingness, not a state of somethingness. You really are totally in a state of surrender. That you really want from that depth where you're willing to become nothing, to really have a sense of nothingness. Not a sense of, I'm giving up a little more, I'm going a little deeper, but you go until there's nothing left but this thing that opens and you can feel the void, you know, in you. How do you feel when you do your chanting? How do you feel when you do your chanting? There's nothing, what are you? Nothing.
Nothing. I become nothing. Naturally.
That's the only way it can be.
When you call and become nothing, oh boy, what do you know?
That's right.
You have to get this thing out of the way.
Yeah. But it's not a sense of nothingness. You open so deeply that it no longer opens, but when you take a breath, bang, it's like cutting somebody right through the middle and throwing both hands away. It's absolutely where you have no ego left because you know you're nothing but a vehicle through which this thing is. You're nothing, period. Because your being there just takes this height and makes it fill with you and it lessens what can come from it.
I think not to get discouraged when you go on doing it and nothing happens. I mean, I did it for, on and on and on and on, maybe. And nothing happened. I used to say, divine love flowing in me, absolutely nothing flowed in me. One day I was out in the woods and it broke.
Yeah.
I hugged the trees, I ran around like a mad
dog. You're digging. And finally you hit water, maybe 5,000 feet, maybe 50 feet.
Yeah.
But the longer it takes to dig, the deeper the water will be now, because a well of 50 feet, when the sun comes out, gets dry.
Yeah.
But a well of 500 feet doesn't dry out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it took me 20 years. I really went to stop raising my ass for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing. I got shook. I mean, it was like a festival. Every time I hit anything, this thing would do this, and I jumped to this bank. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that the thing of wanting a result, you have to be grateful, you know, that you can work and feel more depth and not see anything. Because what you're doing is really getting deeper and deeper. It means you can get through a lot of past karma. Not to hit something, and if you hit something at 50 feet, you're getting rid of maybe two past lives. So if you go down 5,000 feet, you will really be able to get rid of thousands of lives, tens of thousands of years. And that's what you're working for. These people who work and go, I was an Indian prince of last time, they go to the polar region. It's ridiculous. That's only on this planet. You know, it's only in this existence. And we go back and up and sideways and over. Really, for millions of years, these things are not of us today. And they're really not from here. Or if you start walking on the moon, what is that? That's stupid. It's really stupid and very limited. And it's like a beggar being satisfied with somebody grabbing a couple of pennies. you think from here to the moon is a big deal, or that's a big deal. It's all nothing but a small cheap gift that you're willing to accept because you really don't want to be totally nothing. So all of these things that people call as a result, these are what they accept as a payoff, you know? They say, oh, that can surrender this, and it's wrong to do this, it's wrong to do this, but that's okay. What's okay? If this is wrong, and that's a manifestation, and that's a manifestation, then everything's a manifestation. You should view absolutely open and earnestness. It has to be a sense of nothingness. That finally is what you're working for. That you open, and each chakra opens so far that you cease to exist. It exists. It's a state of being that you're working for. And it's a state of serving. You become a servant. You are not anything. This thing comes through, and you take, you know, it's like you take the dirty rags after you've cleaned them, and you've got to sleep. And you have to wash them out while you're sleeping to wake up to work again. And it's difficult, you know? But it certainly saves you from the possibility of ever being locked in with yourself and with your own image of what you think it is. You really have to understand the thing of opening deeper and deeper and deeper. And really asking to such a depth that when the thing opens, you feel. Really, you feel your nothingness. You feel it's the magnificence of this flow that comes through you, and you're fortunate to have it touch you for as long as it's flowing through you. But it means that you have to continually break down everything in the day. I mean, all of these things, you know, all of these things, and all the things we do during the day are just to test really where we have value. Understand that. I mean, that is nothing more. All of these things during the day are manifestations, and they are cannot be attached to. And you say, this is important, oh, that's not important, but that's essential, and this is real, and this is unreal. It's all the same garbage. It doesn't matter how you wrap the energy, you know? Because they're just packaging. The thing is the content. And you surrender so that you can open the package, you know, and take the content out. And then you don't worry about it. It's not for you to put a value on because you don't know, you know, really what is deep and what is important. It all flows like many streams into the same river, and that goes into the reservoir, and that really is your function. Your function is to allow the thing to come through you, not to judge it, not to in any way understand. I mean, I had a girl in today, I was telling her before, who was a witch. She was very much a witch. And I've had other people like that in my life, and I just, one more day, especially, and I said, it was extraordinary. It took me 1 year, and I came out like a dog and was chewed up by a bear. You know, I just barely got out of my life. And it's a good question, I barely got out. And it really taught me a great deal about it. And it taught me really even to respect very much this woman, because we only can play and respect the energy. You know, that one person, you know, really sets off in another. That if it wasn't for me, this girl would never have been what she was, because my energy has brought out the depth to which she was a witch. She never showed that with anyone else, because no one ever had the energy to have a taste. So, in a sense, I was the cause, and she gave me the effect. And this is really very much what we are for each other. We reflect, you know, for each other. Our mood and our depth and our capacity. And so that we have to begin to understand that. That something detaches from you, something is attracted to you, you have to look at it and say, is this really the direction that I'm going? Can I accept it? Yeah? And if a person detaches from you, then it means it's right, because it's fallen away from you. It has done its round of karma. Yeah? And you have to let things go. Other things come, that's when you can make a choice. You say, do I want this again, or will I wait for the next bus? You wait for the next bus, you go a different direction, and you can change your pattern. You have a choice when you attract things. You know, what falls away, we have no choice. What changes, we have no choice. Because what is changing expresses God's will. It's the changing of energy. You love somebody, your love carries them to another level, and that gives them the right to move and go. You know? And we think when we love somebody that they have to be counseled. That's a really thing. Like, that's not true. Loving is detachment and nourishment and moving. You move here, somebody moves here. You move here, somebody moves here. Yeah? If there's a deep finding, if there's a deep thing, if there's a marriage involved, then you grow together. But if there's not, then you have to understand the thing that's free to move and change. And you have to respect that, and you have to understand that. If you have consciousness, then you really want to serve that person, then you change and serve them, then you go in their direction. This is really what it's all about. But the weaker person and the dependent person follows, and that's why it used to be in biblical times, a man was always considered stronger, the woman followed him. Now, if there is such a thing as equality, it's manifested by a man and a woman growing together, and one saying, I'm stronger than you, then the woman has the man follow, or the man follows the woman. It's a thing of strength and consciousness. But it should not be expressed as fighting. It's expressed as the higher need for nourishment commands the direction. And that's the only way people can stay together harmoniously. You know, that you really compromise your direction because of an attraction and a need for nourishment. Do you understand, or is it too abstract for you? Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You do?
A little bit.
A little bit. Now, I'll give you an example. It's like you meet a young man and you bring him to home. Perfectly possible, huh? Not?
Mm-hmm.
You meet a religious meeting?
Okay.
And you say, and he says, he feels a quality in you, huh? And he'll come to Hilda with you. Right?
You have done that.
Yeah. And then you're bringing him there. And then he says, well, he really is grateful to you. Yeah? And then he says, well, he wants to take you to meet somebody else. Yeah? Right? And you'll go. Yeah? And you might feel something there. Right? Well, this in no way, in any way, takes any away. It's additional nourishment. You may just say, Hilda, I met somebody, and you can go there, right? So these energies are energies that make for movement. One does not destroy the other. It means you have to work harder to encompass this and this and this and this. I just got a call today from somebody who I love and respect, you know, among the top half a dozen people I've ever met in my life. And he's an American who is the head of the Zen movement on the West Coast. He's an extraordinary man, absolutely fantastic human being, and one of the greatest and humblest human beings I've ever met. And he's really young, he's so aware of his responsibilities. And, you know, I saw him when I was out in California. I really, one of the reasons I left San Francisco, I really respect this man enormously. Tremendously. And he has the biggest temple on the West Coast, and he also has Pasahara, which is that great place in Big Sur, one of his meetings I have. And I've never been there. I'm certainly not involved in Zen Buddhism, but I've seen some very remarkable people in it. And I was going to go and see him, and I told the people who have our place in San Francisco to notify him that I was coming, and I would come and pay my respects. He was in 3 days in Seoul in a position with hundreds and hundreds of people. He was remarkable. And the first night that I left to San Francisco, he came and brought about 6 or 8 people and was sitting there. He sat on the floor. Now, I would never, in a million years, you know, if I really was coming, not have a seat for him. I really would never require it. So he didn't require it. There was nothing in him, you know. And I tell you, you want to kiss his feet. I mean, he's really a wonderful man. And it was really a beautiful, it was a tribute to him. You know, any moment I would have sat on a couch with him sitting in a chair. You know, I would know. I would not do it. I would never do it. I wouldn't. Not do it. I would never do it. It's disgusting that there's nobody here with a brain who knows if you're here that they don't set up two chairs. No, it's a reflection of the stupidity of people here, nothing else. Wrong. That really is wrong. I don't believe in that. I really don't believe in that. And really, I was very, very touched by this thing with this man. And then I went to see him, and he said, I'm going to light incense in front of a Buddha, and I am going to bow 3 times, which means you can bow or not bow. I mean, it was in his temple. He's in charge, and he gives his complete right to not follow the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And this is what freedom should bring. you know, that you are given choice and you can move. And for me it was wonderful. I was bound by everything else because I was not in the level down there, you know. And it was really very wonderful. And it's a question of being open to expand, to change, and encompass. And it doesn't take away from this situation, it makes the situation more. And it's very important just to learn that. So your growing should bring up, you know, the level of people around you. And real growth should bring up your mother and father and your brothers and sisters and everybody that you come from. There's nothing, you know, to develop and then say, oh, well, they can do it, and they can do it. And I've had students always, years later, I would read that term, and I would be amazed at how wonderful they were, and how open they were, and how grateful they were. But some would prepare their idiots. I mean, you know, this is what I'm just saying. They're be very, very happy that somebody cared enough to look after this person who's driving them crazy. And if I have respect for the student, I certainly have to honor the parents. If they're giving you the flower that comes from their dream, how can you not love and respect them? Sometimes you can even respect the student more. You will have a block they had to go through, how much attention existed. So this is really what God has given us. Nobody has done this to their will. It really comes from a higher will, and its purpose is complete, and you have to begin to understand and respect all of it. The leader is all right or very wrong. There is no help or misery. So if the beginning is beautiful and wonderful, then what you come from is also beautiful and wonderful. And until you understand that, this will not really grow. It's very, very essential. You just see it as a total thing. Is that anything? But he's an amazing man. You ever go to you're talking and you're doing something else. You really should have more.
Energy is what I'm taking
to
the conference. And get circulated.
Yes.
And sometimes open up
and have
that
energy
kind of directly.
That's a different energy.
Would that be
uncirculated? Yes, you do. I mean, one is your own conscious will. You start with your brain and then you bring it into your heart and you wish. You're using your own will with your wish to open. And that's the descending force that you bring down with your asking to open. And you go from the brain, you breathe in the throat, and it goes in the heart, and you open, right? That's the exercise of bringing the energy down. And then it comes to the sex organs and up the back. And then it comes to the top of the head. The other energy, no, I'm still talking. The other energy is when you start to open the thought and have lower. You're taking in this higher force and bringing it in as part of the circulation of this energy. So it's a reinforcement. The same way if you're working and then I will give you another energy. You understand? These are all additional energy and they really should all be encompassed so that you're... And then I work with you, I'll give you this, you take it through your eyes and bring it in. Right? And then this comes down, you draw down. You know, these are all additional energy. Or you can feel the atmosphere, or be aware of the day, then you absorb, you know, and bring it to yourself. They're all additional. And the thing that you have to do always, I mean not only now, but for the rest of your life, is the basic thing. It's like going to school. You can't forget your basic mathematics when you go on to, you know, higher mathematics. You still have to feel the flow coming from the brain, down through the throat, into the heart, through the third chakra, down to the sex organs, right? And then everything else is an expansion of that, yeah? But that encompasses everything, and it's the very basic foundation of your existence, as far as your spiritual energy is concerned, because that you're working for is to gather the highest possible energy and bring it up to the top of the head. When that ripens, it automatically takes care of itself. That's an automatic process. Because this will ripen and secrete into the brain, and then that will become part of the refined energy flowing again. Do you understand? The energy that comes in through the top of the head or from you, when it's circulated, is that also purifying that for that? Yes, because it's very simple. If you can think of yourself like a distilling machine, you know, just like you're making some kind of a mash, right? I mean, we're going to make corn whiskey, or we're going to make any breathing barley, any kind of a grain to make alcohol, right? So you take all this mash, right? You bring it down into the furnace, right? And you boil it. And what happens? It rises to the tube, right? That's how you gather the spirit. You understand? So this rises up. So all of your tensions, all of the chakras, all the tensions in the top chakras, as you open and release them, they go down into the spectrum, which is the furnace. And then the kundalini, you see fire, you know? So your mash, all the material comes out like a mass. It's substance, yeah? It's material. It doesn't matter what the material is. That's why diet is stupid. Everything is stupid. You either burn it or you don't burn it. So you bring all of that garbage, all of the material down, and it comes to your sex organs, it comes to the base of your spine, and the fire at the base of the spine heats it, and you draw that energy up through the pores of your spine, which is a refining process. Exactly the same thing as you would to refine any kind of material. You have to boil it, yeah? After you have all the accumulated stuff you can surrender, you boil that, and that comes up the spine, and it rises to the top of the head as a refined energy, right? That boils here, and it eventually ripens. When it ripens, it naturally secretes, just the way sap comes out of a tree, or you can tap, you know, a maple tree to get the maple tree. This life is going to start to drip down on both sides of the head into the brain. And then that starts a very, very much higher refining process. That opens inside the chakras, inside the brain, inside the heart, you know, another kind of a mess because you have refined energy. So it's a process, you know, it's a process always of saying, not this and this or this and that, or trying to understand the tensions, because why could you understand the material that you're going to burn? You just surrender it and burn it. And you're always trying to analyze, is this versus, is it oak or is it ash or is it this or is it that? You just surrender it, let it go down, and, you know, set the fire and start burning. Because it's a thing of doing, the thing of doing. And that's why as you grow spiritually, you have to reach out more and go because you need more material to burn. So the thousands of people who come represent, in a sense, the stuff I need to burn to keep growing. That's the only reason for living and expanding, is that you're taking in more material to burn. The happy thing is that what you're giving back is a refined product. Do you understand? What else is your question in this? Well, this you keep the thumb and the next finger joined so that it keeps you from bleeding out energy. At this point, you don't have the energy to waste, so you hold the energy together inside. It's like a wiring system. It's like a fountain, you know, where the water is continually, you know, pumped back, like it spills out, you know. You can't afford to lose that amount of flow right now, so you keep holding it inside this one. I mean, in a couple of years, you have to open your hands and you'll burn alive. You actually will, the fire will be so strong that you'll be able to give off into the atmosphere. But it's very real, and all that we do, you know, we have to do in a state of surrender. You are not doing to anybody. You are opening, taking in, and burning. You are gathering material. And it's the only way you can look at your life when you meet someone and you relate with someone. If you feel, regardless of whether they're a good person or a bad person, that has nothing to do with it. It has to do with when you can burn what you take from them. If you can burn it, then it's very good because it will make energy for you. If you find someone, and I've in my life met people where sitting with them, I could feel in my spinal column more than anything else. And this is the thing we have to become aware of. What in your mechanism is more sensitive? And I would find my spinal column getting rigid. That the static tension in that person was such that it would break down my mechanism. My mechanism could not function. I could not afford that person. And so it doesn't have to do with the mind. The mind likes this or doesn't like that. But this has to do with your basic equipment, your psychic equipment, your developing equipment. And there are people who come in who really cut the wiring, who really cut the flow of water, who do these things which are vital to a drum. And it's always a sign of somebody who's, you know, really wants to control you, when they start separating you from that which, you know, you get your fuel, your energy, your root system. And it's the thing that destroys a lot of marriages, where a woman doesn't like her husband's friend, and she doesn't like his family, and she doesn't like this, but she doesn't like him. Because you take away the energy, the flow, that has created this person. Well, you can't replace it, you know, but you certainly don't take it away. And it's essential that you understand and realize that whenever you're with somebody and they say, don't do this, don't do this, they begin to cut away from you that which you draw your life for. And what will you be after? You're completely vulnerable because they've eliminated from you the attachments that you used to draw your energy from. If you in your own living, you know, find that you attract something better, something deeper, yeah, then this will automatically fall away as you grow. As leaves in a tree, you know, the bottom leaves turn down and there's a little shoots coming out of the top. But unless you see growth, you don't surrender attachment. Attachment falls away because of growth, not because of will. And it's a natural, organic process of growing. But we always want to go through and we want to trim the tree and do this and do that and do millions of things. And before you know it, you put the tree into a state of shock. It can't assimilate anything. You can't shock something when the roots are very small, when it's not drilling this way. You can't cut it this way. Right? So the time we trim the tree in nature is in the winter when it's dead. You try to trim off the deadness so that life can come. Not to trim away the life and leave the deadness. And it's really becoming conscious of what increases the flow, what is me, what I need, not what I want. What I want so many times, you know, and that's going to become and pour on me a lot of fertilizer. That will bring my root system in. And it's important. It's the same thing in a relationship. You start with someone who you love passionately. Thank God nature takes care of that in a couple of weeks. Otherwise, you would never really rise in the morning. You'd be falling on your face. And so what happens when you keep going back in your mind to this illusion? You want that passion.
And this truly is what some of us should nourish ourselves from. Because the talking that anyone does, or the acting that anyone does, is very secondary, because that's really like the shell of an egg or the shell of a coconut. Because the nourishment isn't always external thing, the nourishment is inside. And so many times we take this thing like, you know, the outside of the coconut, and we become attached to the shell, which is only what words are. But behind the words, when anyone tells who has any realization, there is really the nourishment of the inner content. And of course inside, Swami Akramananda is Swami Sivananda. And when we go through him, we not only receive from him, we receive from Swami Sivananda, and we receive from Swami Sivananda's master. And this thing that's perpetuated throughout time exists that way. It isn't the thing of a person, it's the person within the person and the person within that person endlessly. And so the depth of your surrender, the depth of your attunement, and the opening within you allows you to take not just this generation, but the generation before and the endless generations before that. It's very easy to tune into someone and take from them what they had, what their master had, and their master's master, going back thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And the limitation is always within the listener. whether they're listening to the man or really drinking from the well that his water came from and that water came from and that water came from endlessly. Because we are limited by listening to the one thing, you know? Whereas if you truly surrender and are very deeply open, the person becomes the vehicle through which you can reach everything that ever was and is and will be. And I have this, the very thing that I love, this coming out from that, the ability to reach through him, to see around us. So to not just love him, but also love his master, and I feel it with Hilda, with her contact. And I certainly felt it tremendously. Last Sunday when I was sitting with Dr. Mitra, I sat, and this nourishment, this content came out. I felt so tremendously, you know, fed from inside. It was really beautiful. And we all have it in a deep way to offer, and we also have that to be partaken of. That we don't limit ourselves with the physical that is in the person, that we attach ourselves to the spiritual that is within them, and then this is how we really partake very, very deeply. And I really am very grateful for that, because when I was in Rishikesh, and I was staying there one night, and they took me through and they showed me the different places, this even on the headboard. And I didn't expect much, because this is a place that was, in one sense, you know, being perpetuated by people who are. And then they said, we'll come down by the right of the Ganges, and this is the room of Stephen on the staff. And the door was open, and there shining in the room was Stephen on the soul. It was very complete, this meeting for me. It went deep in my heart and soul, and it's one of the reasons I feel so wonderful to have you to bring this back to me. And this is really the deepest part of what spirituality and mysticism should be. It's to not take the surface, but to go deeply within and really be able to reach to the endlessness that's without limit. Because the opening and the need within us to really want and to love, and it really is this ability to love, that carries us beyond everything. It carries us to all of the masters that existed, and of course this is the thing that carries us to God. And we are not limited, you know, by this thing that exists on the earth, but the thing that comes and really fills people who were here and have this change through them. So one becomes part of a great tradition. One becomes part of the endless energy that existed in the atmosphere. And one then begins to understand too this whole meaning of ancestor worship or worship of people who have passed into another level of existence. They are not, you know, beyond us. They really are beyond our mind. And it's by surrendering the mind to really go deeply inside and want to find this contact, to really love and honor them. And we who find it so difficult to honor the people who we are physically attached to and responsible for, without the ability to honor those physical forms, how could we possibly come to those spiritual forms, which are finer and lighter and certainly more abstract energy? And it always has to do with a limitation and the expression of weakness, where one will try for something which is abstract only because there is no way to correct you. Whereas to take the physical responsibility, well, you say, well, this is interfering with my spiritual work. This is not true. Because on earth as it is in heaven, which is a very true statement in the Bible, if you can't do it on this level, baby, you can't do it on that level. Because one goes on the other. One level perpetuates the other. The physical is the foundation from where we reach into the spiritual, and from the spiritual we reach into infinity. Because our spiritual life, in those cases, is based on seeing a physical person or really seeing a statue which represents a person. But the further you get away, and this is the greatest thing of yoga and the best thing about Hinduism, is the cosmic consciousness. The thing beyond the mind, the thing beyond the image, the thing beyond the physical. But you must realize that these things exist layer by layer. You can't go from a lack of physical, you know, responsibility to a lack of spiritual responsibility. Because you first have to clean the temple, you first have to perpetuate those things which are needed, and then you sit down and the spirit that exists, you know, is happy to exist. But no spirit will exist in a temple which doesn't have within its respect for it. And you in your own life represent the physical temple. You have to be mature, you have to be willing you have to be open, and more than anything else, you have to have the inner strength to surrender and open. It takes a tremendous amount of inner fortitude and inner maturity to really open to another human being who represents another master, which represents the same force and the same energy. And always, it's our stupidity, it's our limitations, which limits us. And so these two rivers become part of my river. And what are they? They just represent having love and respect for another person. They're the same thing. But our mind tries to find differences because our mind isn't strong enough to surrender to that level of flow and that level of consciousness. But because it's not strong enough to surrender to that place, because everyone has a different vibration range, a different frequency, just as you can turn a dial on a radio. You have to find the frequency. And we, instead of trying to find the frequency, we sit there listening to the static, because we just have to move a little more and a little more to open that which is available. There is never a limitation in somebody else, there is only the limitation within us. Because if something isn't right, you go above it and it ceases to exist. And if it is right, then you open to it, and that energy also makes you go above it, so it doesn't exist. Our work spiritually is spiritual work. It's to get out of the physical, so that everything eventually ceases to exist. We are not here to justify the material and the physical and the sexual and the intellectual. We are here to transcend it. Only by taking the content, which is within, can we have the nourishment to transcend that. We are locked in so many of these things because of our need to be in the mind, to refuse to fight, to endlessly find the differences. Whereas when we're strong enough to just think that it's all one, then we have the capacity to be above it. And I really am very grateful for these two people that I love on my right and my left and everything that they represent. Because all of those so-called differences only bring us to the same oneness. And this is the only way one can ever transcend, to really feel this and then go out together. And you have to do this in your own life. You have to do it with the people you work with and the people you live with and the people you love with. You might eventually love with them, and you all go up together, where you endlessly try to find the differences. The differences never made a man free. It was the lack of difference that always freed people. And it is to find the lack of difference for which we're living, because this holds within it the content, this flow of higher conscious energy. Difference makes walls, lack of difference breaks down walls. And I am very happy to find the lack of difference between my two friend things. And for all of you, you must really open to them and also feel the lack of difference. And then you drink and the notion comes in. And please now close your eyes and do your meditation.